Hallelujah. The word's good. Yes. Amen. We are excited about what we're going to get tonight. Yes. You know, you don't have to, this is a key to spiritual maturity. You don't have to listen to your mind. Yes. Did you know that? You don't have to listen to your flesh. It's okay to tell those things no. Amen. And at times, you know, I've been there, done that. You get to a service, you do this long day, evening. It's nice weather outside, and you can feel in your body. You can feel worn down. You can feel like you don't want to be here. Flesh wants to get out. I sure hope it's not one of those long ones tonight that Pastor Mike preaches. You know, those thoughts come in. You don't have to listen to that. You can let your spirit man dominate, which would be this. I am ready to receive from heaven. Body, get ready. Mind, get ready. My life is about to be changed. If you will hunger that way, God will see that. And the Bible says that they that hunger and thirst will be filled and satisfied. You know, there's people that are going to walk out of here tonight, and they're going to be blessed. And then I hope this isn't the case, but there could be people that walk out of here tonight, and you just came to hang out, I guess, because you didn't receive anything, and it's up to you. And so let's just get hungry right now. Let's go to prayer. Go with the attitude of expectation, even though your mind might say something, even though your body might say something. Let's let our inner man, the real us, dominate tonight. Amen. Father, we're thrilled to be here. We're thrilled to receive what you have for us. Father, we know that naturally this looks the same. Naturally, we do this week in and week out. Naturally, it seems like what great change could come from tonight. But Father, we know in our hearts, we know by the Word of God that tonight is an opportunity for change. Tonight is an opportunity for advancement. Tonight is an opportunity for promotion. And so, Father, we thank you. We sit on the edge of our spiritual seats and we say, we are ready, we are hungry, we are excited for what you have for us. Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with boldness and you'll fill it with utterance. I thank you. I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But Father, there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Lives will be changed. Destinies will be overturned. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And Father, we thank you. We're going higher and higher with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Hebrews chapter 6. This is part 5 of our faith series. And I do know there's still at least 2 more weeks after this of this series. We'll see if there's more. But I'm excited about this series. This series are the very things, the very principles that have caused me to be able to walk into things that life tried to deal me a different kind of a hand, financially or physically or, you know, things in life in opposition. But these principles of faith have changed my life. And I'll tell you what, we're excited and glad to be in a place where we're taught. Hallelujah. Learning to be skillful with what God has for us. Because they that don't know, you know, that statement, ignorance is bliss, is wrong. It's demonic. That statement that what you don't know can't hurt you, that's demonic. It can hurt you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And hallelujah. And so, you know, if we would just listen to G.I. Joe, we'd be fine. Knowing is half the battle. You got to know. If you don't know, you can't go forward. And so we thank God and we thank G.I. Joe tonight. Because if you're wondering, what is he talking about? Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch G.I. Joe cartoons. And at the end of the show, it would always say something about knowing. But then it would say, knowing is half the battle. So we're knowing some things. Praise God. Because there is a battle. And if you don't know, the devil will prey on ignorance. And so I'm excited because tonight is one of those messages where if you don't have this solidified in you, oh, will the devil mess with you? Yeah. And so Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 12, I'm going to read a verse to you here. Again, go back and review on your own. I don't have time to do that here tonight. But Hebrews 6:12 says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, notice it came through something, inherit the promises. And so here we know what the goal is. The goal is always get me to the promises. What are the promises? The promises are actually that manifestation of that book coming alive in your life. That's actually having Philippians 4:19 manifest in your presence. What do I mean? You have a need, your finances aren't meeting that need, your paycheck's not meeting that need, but you put faith into action, and eventually there's a showing up of increase. There's a showing up of that supply. That's what? Getting to the promise. Same with healing, right? You're sick in body, your symptoms, you're taking medication, you're doing things you don't want to have to do, but you're in faith, and after a time that goes by, then all of a sudden the body changes, something manifested. Doctors are surprised, you're surprised in the natural, and the manifestation happened. What is that? That's getting to the promises. And we want to get to the promises. God didn't put promises there to dangle them on a carrot and just keep you going until you get to heaven. No, he said, my promises are what? Yes and amen. I love that because he's telling you right off the bat, I want you to know, I want you to have these things. He's not saying to you, this is for somebody or you might get. No, he's saying, I want you to have these. Praise God. Hallelujah. So much confidence is based in knowing what God wants for you. And when you know that God wants you to have these things, my goodness, you have freedom and permission to go after these things. But they come through an avenue, and we've been looking at faith, and it says faith and patience. And I know in America, 2021 culture that we live in, that word patience, that's almost like a cuss word. Who wants to be patient? Who wants to have to wait? I mean, I'm telling you, I go to the drive-thru, and if I'm sitting there for 5 minutes, I feel the heat coming from my toes. It's working its way up. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to the word fast food? That's why I'm here. It's supposed to be fast. That's me. That's how I get, and that's just the way we are. And we don't like patience. We don't like waiting. But God said to get to the promises, a lot of times there's going to have to be faith and patience. I wish it just said faith. But there's patience. Why? Because patience denotes waiting. My mother-in-law, she makes some good food. And one of the things she makes, and I don't know if this is the way with all, I don't know if it's jambalaya or jambalaya, that dish from New Orleans and down the Cajun dish there. But she makes that, and I love it. Except the fact that she puts the shrimp in there. I only like shrimp if it's got a lot of breading on it. I need breading to hide some things. The breading hides some things. But her recipe of jambalaya, I know it's going to come with the rice that I like. It's going to come with the sausage in there, the spices and things that she puts in that I love. But I also know with hers comes shrimp. I don't get a special pot of jambalaya from her with no shrimp in it. I got to pick out the shrimp. I'm always picking out the shrimp, But I know it comes with it. Can't deny it. I have to go through the shrimp to get to it. It's the same thing with getting to the promises. You can't escape the patience part. But a lot of people don't have that revelation. And so when we get into the patience part, that's when, if we're not solidified, if we're not secure, that's where the devil can come in and mess with us. And I'm here to tell you that it is in that part of the faith process where most people drop the ball of faith, where most people kind of fade out, and they never walk into what they receive. And then they just, you know how many people I deal with that just justify in their minds because it's not that bad and they never went for it in faith. Then they, instead of going for it, they pull back and say, well, I can live without that. But God doesn't want you to live without it. He said, my promises are yes. I want you to live with them. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at some things based on patience here tonight and get this revelation in us, because I'm just here to tell you, if you want to be what you'd call a faith giant, what's a faith giant? Somebody that their faith's working. Somebody that things are moving for them. Things are changing. Mountains are being removed. The obstacles are being removed. Victorious living, right? If you want to be that kind of person, you can't get there without patience. And you got to have that revelation in you. And so I'm going to look at about four things that the Spirit of God put on my heart for this service. And number one, we've already kind of talked about it, is this, is patience is a part of the process. It's unavoidable. You can't deny it. You can't escape it. So patience is part of the process. And you need to know this. When I say know it, I don't mean a head knowledge. I mean that when you are in the midst of the fire and the time is going by, because how many of you know it is simple to start anything? You know, the Olympics are on right now, and I think that they have a marathon in the Olympics. At least I thought they used to. But if they don't, you know, people run marathons. And a marathon is 26.2 miles. And I'm not a runner. I can't stand running. I always wonder. I drive by people when they're running, and they look tired. And I just think to myself, why don't they just stop? If they just would stop and walk, they wouldn't look the way they're looking. They look like they're in pain. They look like they're struggling. Just stop and walk and you'll be better. So that's why I just walk, because it seems just to be a lot better. I don't know. I'm not looking like they're looking. And so anyways, a marathon's 26.2 miles. And I think about running nonstop for 26.2 miles, and it baffles my mind. But how many of you know each and every one of us could start a marathon? Every single one of you could start a marathon, because all you got to do is what? Staple or tape that number on your stomach and show up at the starting line and just go, and you can start a marathon. But very few, I would imagine, if any of us in here could run 26.2 miles straight. Maybe there's a marathon runner in here. We have one in South Dayton, and so he could do it, but I could not do that, but I could start it. You know that my mom, I love these things. She knits me these things called Afghans. I love them. I don't know why I love them. My toes get stuck in the holes, and she makes them real big and comfortable. You know, I could start an Afghan. I could start an Afghan. I could easily start an Afghan. All you got to do is what? Get all the stuff that you need, and there you go. That's the start. But I can't finish one of those. And there's a lot of people that they can start a faith journey. Because the starting of the faith journey, to me, is the easy part. Because when you start a faith journey, when you get kicked over into that place of going to that faith journey, you're in excitement because you've realized or come to a revelation, things can be different for you. You don't have to be poor. Your kids don't have to be this way. The situation doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to be sick in body. And so we say, okay, faith is the process. Let's get to that starting line of faith. We want to start this. And we shoot out like a rocket out of a cannon or a bullet out of a gun, and we're excited about that. And then all of a sudden, you start that marathon, and mile one comes, and you're not at the finish line. And mile two comes. Wait a minute. I've been running for 2 miles. This feels like it should be over now. And it's not over. And a lot of people don't have the endurance to get there. And part of the reason is because this is not solidified in our hearts. And we waver and things get knocked out of our hands. And so patience is part of the process. You need your mind renewed to this. So many people, I remember hearing a minister years ago talk about how people had become soured and disgruntled with healing lines. And the reason being is they don't have a revelation. When you come up for healing, we're thankful for the immediate gifts of the Spirit. We're thankful for the immediate manifestations. But have you been a Christian for a while? Have you noticed the immediate manifestations are few and far between? Anyone notice that? Where, I mean, we pray for money. I go home, log into MNT.com, and the number is the same. Right? Go through a week and the number in my account is still the same. No money's come in the mail or healing. You pray for it. You go back to your seat. You still have symptoms at times. You go to bed at night. You still have symptoms. Sometimes things get worse. Have you ever noticed that? Well, that's part of it. That's how these things work. Remember, there's a devil. There's opposition. Remember, it's not God dangling and just wanting to see you suffer. It's a part of it, and he's trying to help us by telling us that. And when a healing line, people come up for healing, that's prayer, and you release your faith in that healing line, praise God. Go with me to Mark 11 and verse 24, Mark 11, 24. And faith is released, or anything, and when we walk back to our seat and we still have the symptoms, or we go to bed at night and we still have the symptoms, we think that healing line didn't work. And then we get into that mindset, and then we don't ever see the fruition of that promise because, why? We weren't skillful. Amen. You have to be skillful. You know that I didn't start killing the biggest deer that I kill, and I've been killing them like crazy. Not to brag, it's just I give the credit to other people here. One of it was faithfulness to God and putting things in proper order, but also there was a natural part. I became more skillful as a deer hunter. When did I become more skillful? When I got hooked up with my friend Daniel Burkholder, the Amish guy that owns archery shop, and I started to see how he does things. Started to see how he hunts the deer. Learn tips. Because why? You can maybe stumble across a big deer, but to be consistent year after year to get the big ones, you got to be skillful. Well, it's the same thing. You want to be a person that's constantly walking in the promise of God and walking in victory. You have to become skillful in this. And this patience part of it is part of becoming skillful and knowing things. Because when you come up in a healing line and you walk back and you're symptom checking, or you're laying in bed and discouraged and symptom checking and calendar checking, you're just not skillful in the process. And it's going to hurt you from receiving, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, in Mark 11 and verse 24, look what Jesus said. He said, therefore I say unto you, I love it. He said, listen, I'm saying this to you. What's he saying? This is coming from me. I don't lie. I tell you things that are true. Praise God. You need to hear this, he's saying. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Well, that would be prosperity. That would be the abundance you need. That would be the healing you need. That would be the change in your family you need. Circumstance, a spouse, you're believing for a baby, whatever it is. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, that's either the speaking or the releasing your faith in prayer, that could be a healing line, when you pray. When you come up for healing, you're agreeing in faith with me, we're believing God, we're praying, we're releasing our faith. In that moment is when you have symptoms, that's why you came forward, right? He says, when you pray, he says, in that moment, in the time of symptoms, in the time of sickness, in the time when the circumstances are contrary, believe you receive them. He didn't say believe it when it shows up. He says believe you receive. What's that mean? You believe it by faith. Amen. You believe it's. One translation says when you whatsoever things you desire when you pray, take them. You take it like you take it in the spirit realm. You put your hooks in it like I got it. I know it's mine. Praise God. It's just like when you place an order online, right? And they give you a confirmation. Something's changed from before you ordered to after you ordered. Now all of a sudden you don't have it in your possession, but you know that thing's mine. That thing's showing up. It's just a matter of time now, right? But when you get that confirmation number, man, you hold on to that thing or that confirmation email and it tells you and it shows you that is mine, glory to God, and something's changed. Well, it's the same thing in prayer. When you're in faith and you pray, just like you don't receive that thing from Amazon instantly, just like you don't receive that thing from whatever store you've ordered, but something has shifted where now you know that thing's coming, that thing's showing up, and that thing is mine. It's the same exact thing in the spirit when you pray and you're in faith. All of a sudden you ask, that healing, I don't have it yet naturally, but it's coming. That prosperity, I don't have it yet, but it's mine. I have hooked it, praise God. But notice what it goes on to say. If you'll believe you receive it or believe you took it or believe you hooked it in prayer, which that would be coming up in a healing line or coming up after service, say, Pastor Mike, I'm struggling financially. I say, okay, let's agree in prayer together. Bam, we agreed in prayer. You are to then walk out of here believing that thing is coming in the mail, praise God. That thing is going to show up. He says, and you shall have them if you'll go through that process. But notice what he didn't say about having them. He didn't say that it would come within instantaneously. He didn't say that it would come tomorrow. He didn't promise you that it would come in a week. Why? Because a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times the manifestation shows up on, depending on you and what you do, if you can believe. Didn't Jesus say, if you can believe, all things are possible? Now, not always. There's times that things, that timing and pieces are being moved and there's opposition. But I certainly don't want to be the reason it's not showing up. I want to cooperate with this, but here's what I want you to see, and this really stuck out to me last week, and I've just been meditating on this all week in my heart and pondering this. He said, if I desire and pray and believe in that moment, he guaranteed me with his own words that I will have them. Now, why is that a big deal to get that revelation? Because if there is a thing called patience, what does patience mean? Patience means you're waiting for something. That means there's going to be a space and time where you don't see it, where you can't feel it, where you can't touch it, where it's not there. But you can rest assured that Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, he said, it is yours. He didn't say you might have it. He didn't say if it just works out. No, he said you'll have it. So if you'll just do your part, praise God, you'll have it. Glory to God. I was on my way to church today, and I might mention this later, just saying, Father, I thank you for what you promised. I thank you for the promise that you promised, glory to God. You said it, you'll do it, praise God. Hallelujah. We can't let the calendar, we can't let time, we can't let symptoms going the wrong way sway us. Because he said, if I just believe when I receive, believe when I pray that I received it, and I go forward in that faith, there's no doubt it's showing up. It has to show up. And just because time goes by doesn't mean that you're failing, doesn't mean that you're missing out, doesn't mean that it's not working. And if you don't have this patience revelation in you, it'll cause you to freak out. It will. It'll cause you to, what's a faith freak out? This isn't working for me. It's never going to change. It's always going to be like, that's a faith freak out. Faith doesn't do that kind of stuff. When you're in faith, you don't have those kind of words. Anybody had faith freak outs before? I've had faith freak outs. Hallelujah. You know, I like to tell this story about being ignorant, and when you don't know, and when you understand patience, you can rest in patience. That when I went through that 2-year trial of my body, you know, I did all sorts of tests, expensive tests on me and things to try to figure out what the heck was going on in my body. And one of the tests they gave me is they laid me on my back, put me in some machine, but they put some IV or something in me, and it went in me. And the nurse told me before I went in, he said, I want you to know that when you're in here, you're going to feel like you're peeing your pants. You're going to be convinced you peed your pants with this procedure. Well, I'm sure glad he told me that before, because when I got in there, it felt like I was peeing my pants. And had he not told me that, had I not had that revelation that that's part of the process, I would have come out of that machine different than I came out of that machine. I would have been very embarrassed. I would have been very nervous. I would have tried to cover up, tried to talk my way out of this. Well, I don't know what the heck happened. I'm not sure. I don't do this all the time. I promise you I don't do this. You would have had a freak out. But since I had a revelation, I sat there and felt, that's warm. It does feel like I'm peeing my pants, but I'm not. He told me I'm not. And when you go through that patience process, it's like, it's not working. No. My pastor told me this is how it feels. My pastor told me this is what it's like. Praise God. It'll help you, amen? So don't be discouraged by it. Don't be discouraged. It's part of the process. But go number two here. Go with me to Galatians 6 and verse 9. So number one, it's a part of the process. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, I love this promise from God. Isn't he good to give us promises? You know what the devil does, and I'm going to talk about this more in my message tomorrow. The devil is such a talker. And he talks and he talks. And one of the things the devil does to try to break you down, it's the same thing my daughter does. Are you saying your daughter has a bit of the devil in her? That's what we're trying to keep out of her. Keep that devil out of her. But he'll try to break you down. Same way Abby does. By what? Repeated sayings. He'll tell you something and say it over and over and over and over. And over to get you to break down how? Well, with Abby, it's going to break down for you to give in, but with the devil, it's to give in by faith, by what? To believe what he's saying, contrary to what God is saying. Because what? If you have symptoms in your body, that messes with you. And the devil will continually tell you, it's not working, it's not changing, you're going to have this the rest of your life. Why? To break you down, to get you to give in to his words, other than what God has said. Praise God. But God comes in with a promise to us, just like he told us patience, so we don't have to freak out and think we're peeing our faith pants. We're not peeing our faith pants. We're okay. This is how it's supposed to feel. And then when the devil throws his thoughts and it's not working, God comes through with another promise to give us that's so good that also will help us from having another faith freak out. And he tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing. Faith is well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap. Notice this. If we faint not. God's telling you and promising you, you'll get to your promise, based on one thing. If you don't quit, you'll get there. Well, that's wonderful, because what does the devil tell you? You're never going to get there. It's never going to change. Things are going to stay the same always. But the truth is, if I don't quit, I win. Thank you, Father, for that promise. What a wonderful promise. Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved, shall receive, shall walk into their blessings. Go with me to Hebrews 10:23. Remember, we talked about what is the last thing. Now, of course, then there's patience, but I'm talking about the last thing. Wake up, no sleeping. Wake up. Girl, wake up. What is the last thing before we get into receiving from God? Mark 11:23. What does it say? Whatsoever things I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. Or Mark 11:23, whatsoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. What is the last thing? He'll have what he says. So getting to what you say, even in Mark 11:24, the last part that you have, that you do, is the saying coming out of your mouth through the prayer or the confession, wake up, or the confession of the word, praise God, hallelujah. And so the last thing you do is you say, you speak things, and then it comes to pass. Now look at here, it says in Hebrews 10:23, we know that we can't walk into the promises of God without the saying, right? We have to say. That's one of the whole messages in this faith series was confession, confession, confession. We got to be saying. And look what he says to us. He says, that confession, he says, hold fast to that confession. What's he mean? Hold on to that tightly. Hold on to that confession. That's what I mean, hold fast. He's not saying be casual with it. If I were to tell you, okay, here, you hold this water bottle, and every second that goes by that it's in your hands, we're going to put $1,000 in your bank account. It's going to, and every second that goes by. But now all of us, whoever can get it out of your hands, they're going to get all the money that you've earned up to that point. You would not hold that bottle just with your pinky and your thumb. You would grab onto that thing, you would cradle that thing, you'd tuck that thing in, and you would hold on tight. Why? Every second that goes by is adding something to you. You would hold tight to that. And he said, hold fast, tightly, to your confession of faith, without wavering. Why? For he that is faithful is promised. What's he saying to you? He's saying you have to take that confession with you through the patience part. And the patience part is the hard, naturally part. Why? It's not mile point one, right at the beginning of the starting line of the marathon, that's hard. It's not hard to show up there. It's not hard to start. But you get to mile two and mile three and mile eight and mile nine, it gets tougher and tougher, and you got to endure to the end. And he said, the only way you can get there, notice he told you, you got to keep that confession, that same confession that you started at the gate with. When it gets to mile 12 and you're months in it, you're years in it, you're weeks in it, whatever it is, and it's passing by, you can't change that confession that you had at the starting line. He says, for you to get to the end, you got to carry that confession with you all the way to the end. And he told you something. He said, number one, that God is faithful. So if you'll keep your confession, remember, another promise from him telling you, listen, the calendar doesn't matter, what you feel doesn't matter, what you see doesn't matter. I'm faithful, I'll do it. But you got to carry that faith to the end. And faith is confessing. He says, carry it to the end. Well, if he says do it without wavering and hold fast to it, why would he tell you? You know why he told Adam and Eve? He told Adam and Eve, keep the garden. That word keep means to guard it. Well, why would he tell them to guard the garden if there was nothing they were going to need to guard it from? He said, subdue things. Well, if you didn't need to subdue anything, why would he tell you that? Well, he told them because he was prepping them. He's saying there's something that's going to come and try to take this from you. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with confession. If he says hold on to it tight, why is he saying hold on to it tight? Because he wants you to know something's going to come to try to knock that confession out of your mouth. Hallelujah. To try to knock that confession out of your mouth. Well, why would the confession want to be knocked out of your mouth by the enemy? Because if you don't have the confession, you don't have the promise. Because Jesus said you'll have what you say, and God said carry it to the finish line. Do you see that there? You got to carry it to the finish line. You got to hold on to it. But here's the thing. In that patience time is when the wind and the waves kick up. It's when the storms hit. It's when the oppression and the pressure. Again, remember, when you hear about healing and hear about the word on finance and you get that revelation, you step over, you're in a place of excitement. No matter how bad it is, you're like, wow, there's change finally. I can move on to better. And you get excited. And so at that starting line, the confession's alive and well, and you're saying it, and you're saying it, and you're saying it. But then the weeks go by, the calendar, the symptoms get worse, the situation gets worse, it's going the wrong direction. And what happens? It's tempting to what? Get you to drop that confession and change it to, this isn't working. I'm not going to see change. It's always going to be like this. He said, hold on to it. If you can endure, praise God, if you can endure and not faint, you'll win. Now, last week, I took people on a journey through the Discovery Channel. And we learned about the Emperor Penguin. And we're going to talk about the Emperor Penguin here again tonight, because the Emperor Penguin knows, if I don't faint, if I stay patient and endure through the process, a process that there is, I will get to the end of some wonderful reaping. It's the same for you. Well, what about the Emperor Penguin? I know you came here tonight thinking, you know, it would be really amazing if Pastor Mike taught me about the Emperor Penguin. I know some of you had that thought on your way here. Well, it's your lucky day, because tonight is the night we're learning about the Emperor Penguin. The Emperor Penguin goes 100, the male Emperor Penguin goes 110 days with no food. In negative 55 degree temperatures with 120 mile an hour winds. Now, imagine that's stormy. That would be hard to hold on to anything for any period of time, right? But the way the Emperor Penguins work is the mother, and he sleeps standing up through all that time, just to let you know. The mother lays an egg, and then mom leaves and goes and feeds and does her thing. And mom transfers the egg onto dad's feet. And dad has to stand there, and he uses part of his body to balance it, and balance that egg on his feet for around 60 to 65 days. And then once the egg is hatched, he's got to then care for the baby. He still can't eat, so he has to stay there. But for 60 to 65 days in 120 mile an hour winds, negative 55 degrees, sleep standing up, the Emperor Penguin dad will just stand there and endure and go through that patience process. Why? All for the hope of obtaining the promise. If the egg rolls off his feet and hits that cold ground, it's over. It's done. It can't. That's why they stand there and they huddle up together and they're just enduring, going through. Why? It's worth the wait. Ladies and gentlemen, your endurance is worth the wait. The trial with which you're being tried by fire is worth the wait. Glory to God. Why? The promise is worth it. So many people are okay with living. There's so many people that I know of that I counsel and help that are so okay with just living average because it's not bad enough, but yet they don't understand if they would just press and go through some things, because that's the thing. To get to the promises, you're going to have to endure and press through some things. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's worth it. It's so worth it. And if you don't quit, and that Emperor Penguin knows, if I don't faint, if I don't quit, this baby will be born. It'll be glorious, praise God. Hallelujah. We need to have that kind of mentality. Sometimes you just have to be good at outlasting the devil. Isn't it amazing? And this helps me. Jesus, his victory in the wilderness did not come after day one. It did not come after day two. It didn't come after week one. It didn't come after week two. It didn't come after week four. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the wilderness. It took 40 days for him to become victorious in that. What did he do? He put on a display of just outlasting the devil. If I don't quit, I win. If I don't quit, I win. I don't give in. Could Jesus have lost? Oh, absolutely. By how? Giving into what the devil was saying. But Jesus held fast the confession of the word. And he got to victory, praise God. Hallelujah. So number one, patience is a part of it. Number two, just don't quit, you'll win. Just don't quit, you'll win. Number three, go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. I just want people to get this. I just want people to get this so bad. Hallelujah. You know, when I correct people and kids and talking and service and different things, it's not because I'm mean, not because I don't love people. It's because I love people and I want people to get this. I want people to have an honor for the things of God and be blessed, praise God. That's the only reason. Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, you know, I'm just going to use an example here. I understand natural things. But you also have to understand spiritual things. That one word from this pulpit can change your whole life. Yeah. You know, there was a time I was driving, it was stupid of me going down to Pennsylvania to hunt turkeys and it was like an hour and 10-minute drive to where I was going, and I needed to be there to beat the crowd so they could see my truck there so they wouldn't go into my spot. And so I'm driving through the middle of the night in Allegheny National Forest, and I don't want to crash. And I don't want to fall asleep at the wheel and die. I've done that before and almost died when I was 17 years old. I don't want to do that. I don't want that. And it's important to me that I get to my destination. And it's important to me that doesn't happen. So you know what I do? What I did? I slapped myself as hard as I could in the face. I just kept slapping myself. That didn't work. So I actually got out in the middle of the road, put the truck in park, and went for a jog, just sprinting down the road. That woke me up. Or I'll sit there and I'll pinch myself as hard as I can. You got to wake up. Why? I can't afford to crash. Well, it's the same thing. When we come to service, we have to be ready. And we have to understand that the body and the mind, that's why I said that in the beginning, the body and the mind are going to try to pull you away from the very thing that could absolutely save your life and change your world. Say, oh, Pastor Mike, no, I'm telling you, there's things in my life that specifically from one service, one line, one thing that was said changed the course of everything for me. Amen? So that's why I am the way that I am, because I love you. So if you don't like me being a rah-rah coach in your ear, you probably should go find someone that's going to sit on their hands. But I liked my coaches that were always on me. You can do better. Come up higher. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So that's the way I am. Anyways, he says, and so verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Notice that. Even Abraham had to patiently endure, and he got the promise. You can imagine the thoughts he got. You can imagine the criticism he got, the hopelessness of never having a son, those things that he got. Why? One thing only. The time, the calendar went by. You can imagine. I've been there. It says, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and oath for confirmation to them is the end of strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show the heirs the promise of his immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two impossible things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation to have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. There's a lot of words there that you could really break down, but the thing I want you to know is in verse 18 it says that it was impossible for God to lie. So number one, it's part of the process. Number two, if you don't faint, you win. And number three, you need the anchor of patience. And the anchor of patience is simply this. God can't lie. And when you say can't lie, what are you talking about? You're talking about his words. God's word is your anchor in the storm. That doesn't blow you all over the place, blow you onto the shore of doubt and unbelief, blow you onto the shore of discouragement and hopelessness. God's anchor to Abraham was what? I can't lie. I said you're having a son. You're gonna have a son, praise God. What's your anchor? You're going through hell on earth in your body? I said I would heal your body. I said healing is yours. I said finances would come. I said abundance was yours. I said you could have this. I said you could have that. Doesn't matter what you're going through then. God can't lie. It anchors you, glory to God. It anchors you. You know, I love what God has told us. He told Timothy this in 1 Timothy. We won't go there for time's sake. He said, by the prophecies that went before you, he said, wage a good warfare with them. He said, you can go to battle with those prophecies. Praise God. For example, a pastor that's starting out and nobody's showing up, but that's been prophesied over prophecies that people will come and that you're meant to be a pastor and do that. Okay, you know you're called to do it. Well, God didn't call you to pastor empty seats. And so you get into that battle, and there's empty seats, and the thoughts and the things can come and bombard you. But by that prophecy that, no, I'm by the prophecy that went before, and what are biblical prophecies? Biblical prophecies are when a man or woman of God hears words from heaven and delivers them to you. They're the same as the word of God. He said, take that word, so basically saying, take the word of God and wage war with it. Keep battling, keep showing up, keep going to the well of confession. Keep going, why? God's word, praise God. He said in 1 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, or 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, he said, believe the words of the prophet and you'll prosper. What are the words of the prophet? The words of the prophet are just the word of God. He said, if you'll believe those words, even in the midst of hell, prosperity will be the answer. A prosperous, moving into prosperity in that situation, if you'll believe. What he's basically saying, those two words are, hold fast to what God has said as an anchor and take it all the way to the finish line. Because when you are sick and they're saying impossible, there's nothing natural you can grab onto anyways. When the calendar's testifying for years, it looks like it has the upper hand and it's winning and you have no rebuttal. Naturally, you're right. You have seemingly looked like you've beaten me for years. When you can't pay your bills and there's no natural help, it looks like it's won. But the word is the anchor. It says, no, you win. You win, praise God. Hallelujah. God can't lie. You know that in that two-year period, thoughts of sickness, I mean, I'm talking about can't eat, can't sleep, tormented, hell on earth. The thoughts came fast and furious that this is my new life. Get used to your new life. Get used to your new life. But there was one issue with that the devil forgot, that I had built such an anchor on the inside of me that healing was God's will. That healing belonged to the child of God. That if I keep in faith and pressing forward, I will see my manifestation. And so what? I held fast to that confession. When the thoughts would come, and I'm not saying that there weren't times that tempted to get discouraged and down, there was. It was hell on earth. But the majority of that time, it was a deep knowing in me. And I just sit there even in my tears and in my sorrow and in my pain and suffering. Father, you are healing God. I remember my appendix. And they hooked the bed alarm up, but I have a mischievous adopted grandma named Grandma Alice Hunt from the South Dayton Church. And she was an ex-nurse, and she taught me how to turn the bed alarm off. So I turned the bed alarm off in the middle of the night when I wasn't supposed to move and get up. And I got up and I grabbed that IV card or whatever that thing is there. And I'm walking around the room. I can hardly move. And I'm just, Father, I thank you. And tears are coming. I mean, I'm in so much pain. I thank you. Healing's mine. I thank you. Just a deep knowing that it's, why? What is that? That's that anchor. Praise God. You got to get that anchor in you, the word. Now, last but not least, go to James 1 and verse 2. We'll close here and take up communion. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1 and verse 2. A message like this is so priceless. It's when you're in the fire, you need hope to grab onto. And I'll tell you, the devil's so convincing, isn't he? And you notice how he doesn't tell you things that are so absurdly false, right? Like, he doesn't come to you and say things that have no, I mean, even the things he told Jesus had a shred of truth in them, right? Had mixed the word, even mixed the word in there, because that's the way he is. He's a skillful liar. You know, they have tricks, they have traits, they have ways of spinning things, way of saying things. He's a very skillful liar, and he will take advantage of that patience part and absolutely run your mind into the ground if you don't have these revelations in your heart, and then he'll win. But James chapter 1 and verse 2, look at this. Now, we started this service by saying, man, I wish we could get the shrimp out of the jambalaya. I wish we could get the patience out of this part of it, but that's just wrong thinking. Patience, ladies and gentlemen, is not a bad thing. Yes, it is. No, God says it's not a bad thing. That means it's not a bad thing. And when you get a revelation that it's not a bad thing, when you're in it, the tables get turned on patience. Because patience tries to tell you how bad it is in such a terrible time of faith. No. When you renew your mind to God's word, then it's like, okay, I'm in this stage and good things are happening right now. He said in James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it joy. That doesn't sound like sorrow and sadness. Count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various tests and trials. He says, count it joy. Why? Knowing this, Well, verse 3, if you don't know this, you can't count it joy. And that's why a lot of people in the patience part are grumbling and a mumbling and a stumbling instead of rejoicing and a shouting and a praising because they just don't know this. But if you know this, the result will be counting what your test is, joy. That the trying or the testing of your faith is working or producing patience. Patience being produced in me. Why do I need patience produced in me? But let, verse 4, patience have her perfect work. That doesn't sound like a bad thing to me. That you may be, the result for you will be perfect, entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Now, God says patience is good, that's producing, that going through the test and trial, that time that you're going through it, even in the patient stage, is also producing patience in you. Well, let me give you an example of that. If you think that the victory that you're going for now is the last test and trial and the pinnacle of the victories in your life, what's left to live for then? I go from glory to glory. I go from opportunity to opportunity. And he told me that the door of advancement and opportunity is always going to be tests and trials to keep me out. So the patients, think about what they do in boot camp. They come in and they do things that are unreasonable to them, and they'll tell them clean the whole place or get their uniforms nice and clean, and their beds nice and clean, their stations nice and clean, and they'll come right in after and tear it all up. Well, what are they trying to do? They're trying to produce something in them, so when chaos happens, when the bullets are flying, they can remember. They're used to it because they've been through it. Amen. Well, I've been able to, since 2 years, this is my 11th year of pastoring South Dayton. The first two of them, you knew about my financial test and trial. From those 2 years, 9 years to now, I have personally and church-wise had great financial tests and great financial victories. And you know what I always revert back to each and every time something's presented and a number and it looks impossible and things? I always go back to, oh, what was put in me in those 2 years? There were things put in me, and when you're in it for the 2 years, your flesh and mind want to scramble to get out of it. But good things were happening in me because for the next glory, for the next advancement, I'm going to need what that test put in me for the here and now. And also why patience is a perfect work is because at times, have you ever been spared from something that didn't happen when you wanted it to happen, and then it happened a different time, or something different showed up, and you're like, thank God it went this way instead of the way I wanted? But back then, you were kicking and screaming and so upset. But patience actually paid off for you. Because why? A better house opened up. A different person came down the pipeline. A different job opened up. Come on. Sometimes in this patience part, there's pieces that need to be put in place. There's situations that need to be worked out behind the scenes so that when you arrive smoothly. Amen. Hallelujah. If they tell me I'm flying in January to a camp meeting in Pastor Dancy's church, the Holy Ghost meetings, and they tell me, coming back from California, we're going to be delayed a little bit. They need to clear the runway. There's been a snowstorm. They need to clear. Fine. I'm okay. Why? I want a smooth landing. Or, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take some extra time. The flight's going to be delayed 30 minutes. There's ice on the wings. No, I can't wait 30 minutes. Take off now. You're not going to like the result. And it's the same thing. We kick and scream, I want it now, I want it now. We don't know what's being put in us, and we don't know what's being worked. But we've really recently sung a song in South Dayton. It's one that's about, you know, really giving. We do it in prayer and worship service, that about really giving your life to God. And there's a line in it, and I've been trying to live like this and trying to put this in me, and I fail at times and just keep going after it. But when I trust you, I don't need to understand. When your faith is completely in him, I don't need to understand why it's still this. I don't need to understand why it naturally, I trust you and am in faith that you're working things for my good and my benefit. Praise God. Amen. It's so freeing. It's so freeing when you're in that patience part and you don't have to scramble to get out, but no, this is a good thing. Things are happening. God's working. Things are being put up. Things are being set up for me. And God's perfect timing is the perfect arrival time. My time is not the perfect arrival time. God's time is the perfect arrival time. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for tonight. We thank you for this, these truths. They're in us. It's our job to cultivate them, to meditate on this, to recognize, maybe to repent, because maybe we dropped the ball, but we need to pick it back up. Father, you're helping us. You love us. You care for us. Thank you for your mercy. We just are so grateful. Father, we're so thankful for salvation. Even salvation is a promise that we have to wait for. We receive it now. We have peace of mind, and it's given us things. But the greatest manifestation of that salvation is when we go to heaven, is when we get our new bodies and our minds are like yours, and we're in heaven and we're with you, and that's waiting. And so we wait patiently for that because it's worth it. But Father, we thank you. These things that are needful here on the earth, right here and right now, Father, we thank you that if we'll be skillful and we'll recognize and keep that confession and keep our faith, we will reap. You promised us. You didn't say it might come to pass. You said you will have them. You will reap if you faint not. I thank you for reaping tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know that everyone in this room has made Jesus the Lord of their life. But if you're watching by live stream right now and you've never received Jesus, I need to let you know this, because religion in the world will tell you different. The idea is that everybody on the earth is God's child. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean or hurtful. It's just not true. God loves everyone in the world. God loves his creation. But the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, to the ones that receive Jesus, it's those that have the right to be called the children of God. Well, you have to receive Jesus to become the child of God, and not just recognize that he was a legit human being in history. Receiving Jesus is found in Romans 10 and verse 9. Confessing with your mouth that he is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That is the process of receiving him and getting salvation, becoming a child of God, having heaven as yours. And so if you're watching by live stream and you've never done that, your good works can't get you in, your bad works can't keep you out, your church attendance can't keep you in, and your lack thereof cannot keep you out. It's what you do with the Savior. And if you can say, Pastor Mike, I believe in Jesus. I don't understand everything, but I believe in Jesus. You're qualified. And if you're out there and you say, I want to receive him, I want to know him, it's as simple as crying out to him. When this service is over, I pray that you'd cry out to him and pray a prayer that sounds something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life. If you'll pray that, he will. He's knocking at the door. He wants in. And if you pray that, send me an email, give me a phone call. I'd like to help you with your next steps, because now you're what the Bible calls a spiritual baby. And just like a natural baby, you know, there's things for a natural baby. It's not just about being born. I mean, that's great that a baby's born, but the steps after a baby are born are just as important as the birth process, because if a baby's not taken care of rightly, they go the wrong direction. It's the same way with the Christian. And so we want you to help. We want you blessed. So let us know. But can we just praise him this evening? Praise God. We love you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. You haven't forgot about us. You haven't left us. You're not hurting us. You're helping us. And sometime we're going to realize that the patience, my goodness, Father, you are helping us. You are good to us. And so forgive us for our impatience. Forgive us for our fretting, our grumbling, our moaning and groaning. We thank you for what's being put in us. We're coming to an arrival place that needs us better, needs us stronger. So we praise you for it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to take up communion now. And so this is a time of reverence. This is a time of worship. Please, no fellowshipping, no joking around, not a time to be talking. This is a time of worship to honor. You know, we want to be honorable. Yeah. Amen. One of the things that Dr. Dufresne and Kenneth Copeland had said, and Brother Hagin, that's lacking on the earth, is honor towards the things of God. And it's not a time to be religious, but it's a time to be honorable. So we're going to put a song on. Brothers, you can come forward and serve the people, and let's just worship him, and then we'll take up the elements together. But Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, thank you, thank you. go ahead and put that song on. We thank you, Lord. And this song is that something about that name, just thinking about Jesus and worship Him. Thank you for my redemption. Thank you for my salvation. You are so kind and so good to me. Oh, Jesus, where would I be without you? Where would I be without you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. All that you've given me. You loved me when I was unlovable. You loved me when I was an enemy, apart from you, in darkness, child of the devil. You loved me so much. You gave me Jesus. Came to you with a rotten mouth, living wrong, substances, thought processes that were so backward, so demonic. And yet you loved me and said, I want you. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy, for sending us Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We don't take for granted what you did, what you went through. Jesus, I want you to know that I am well aware of the price that was paid. The torment, the struggle, the suffering that you endured so that I could be free. You laid your life down for mine. I love you so much. You could have called 10,000 angels. Could have removed yourself from that situation, but you stayed. Love kept you. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says this. He says, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, just the same way we are. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, remember to me. Let's break and let's eat it. And let's thank him for his body. Jesus, we thank you. The bread represents the body that was broken for us and what you endured. And what took place in your flesh, we're just so thankful that by your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. We don't take it lightly. We want you to know we're so thankful. And after the same manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's drink it. Jesus, we thank you that the juice represents the blood that was shed for us, that for the remission of our sins, the spotless blood. Without that, there's no forgiveness, there's no remission. So we worship you and we praise and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can pass your cups to the center aisle if you want, and the ushers will come through and pick those up. Don't forget, children, you can meet Miss Julie out there for the Children's Church Prize. We want to bless you. Also, we have Wednesday service at South Dayton. If you can't be there, pray with us. But we have fellowship after, so head on down to the fellowship hall. We love and appreciate you. We'll see you next week. Praise God. You are dismissed.